Our scripture reading is taken from the Gospel according to John. And I'm going to read part of the scripture reading, but I'm not going to read the whole thing. I want to encourage you to do that on your own at some point in time. But because I am preaching from both the Gospel of John and also from Romans, I'm only going to do a portion of the... My gosh, you know, we all sound like each other. Everybody's coughing and hacking. And we either need a hard freeze or summer. I mean, really. This has gone on long enough. Jesus, heal this whole congregation. Let us be strong enough and let us stop coughing. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Okay. Then that was a real prayer. If you thought I wasn't, believe me, I am. Because I know what it feels like to go off on one of those hopping tangents. Anyway, I'm preaching from both the Romans text and the John text. So I'm only going to read part of the John text with you this morning, but I want you to read the whole story at some point this week, okay? That's your assignment. Read the whole text that I put in there. I'm going to start right where I gave you, John chapter 4, verse 5. All right? So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Excuse me. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting at the well. It was about noontime. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that's saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well with his sons and his flocks all to be able to drink from it?" And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this well will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, please give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here for water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." And the woman answered him, I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You're right in saying I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one that you're living with now you are not married to. What you've said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is for the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will proclaim to us all things. And Jesus said to her, I am he. The one who is speaking. May God bless and anoint this reading of Scripture. I want to think with you for a few minutes about this woman. Actually, I want to stand right where I was and just bask in the glow of the light, but I have a job to do, so I'll do it. I want to think with you about this one for a few minutes. You probably have heard this story 100 times and you can tell it back to me. But there are probably 10 of you maybe in the room who haven't heard the story and don't know the background behind it. And there's another 20 or 25 of you that have forgotten. So I'm going to go through it. Okay? This Samaritan woman, this woman who came from Samaria, has been married 5 times and is living with a man that she's not married to. She's a woman. She is out there alone at Jacob's well gathering water. She doesn't have 3 stripes against her, she has 4. The entire world has written her off. She's good for nothing. She's trash. She's garbage. She's nasty words. She ain't worth nothing. Don't give her the time of day. And whatever you do, don't talk to her. If you're a good, upstanding follower of God in those days called Jews, if you're an upstanding follower of God, whatever you do, don't talk to her. Don't get near her. Don't have anything to do with her because she is cursed. She is evil incarnate. She is all these terrible things. When the Jews were hearing this scripture, that's what they would have thought. The woman thought it. You can tell from her reaction to Jesus. What are you, a Jew, asking me for water? I mean, is this a trap? Now I want you to think about who are the Samaritan women in our world today. Who are they for you? Who are they for me? Are they the poor, the unclean? Are they people of color? A different color than us? Are they people who don't have education, who don't talk good? Are they people who have broken the law? Are they women who have... Wait a minute, let me just put a period there. Are they women, period? Are they women who have been married multiple times? Are they women who are living in sin? What about the man in that? Why isn't the man mentioned in there? Are they people who aren't necessarily the same as us? Maybe their sexual orientation is different. Do we even bother to try to understand them? Do we even bother to try to talk to any of these people? Are they people who don't have enough clothing, who don't have enough water, who don't have clean water through no fault of their own? But we stand there all self-righteous and say, we're the good ones, we're the good ones, we're the good ones. They're the bad ones. Whatever's happened to them, they did something bad. Everybody here standing on a pedestal, jump off before I push you. Because I will. Ain't nobody in this room, and I don't talk too good right now. Ain't nobody in this room can stand on a pedestal and say they are better than anybody else. Nobody. Every single one of us has got weaknesses, frailties, we're sinful. We need Jesus Christ as much as the Samaritan woman needed Jesus Christ. Every single one of us. I know it's hard for some of you to believe. I have been told that some of you are perfect. I know. This is a difficult moment for some of you. Please, it's okay. Really. It's better to stop being perfect. It truly is. You'll be happier if you don't try to be perfect anymore. You'll also be happier if you stop saying you're perfect. Because then I don't have to argue with you. The Samaritan woman is about as low in society as you can get. And yet, Scripture tells us Jesus went to her alone, singled her out, and lifted her up, and anointed her in such a way that history records it. Anointed her by declaring to her something he would not declare to almost anyone else. She says, "I know Messiah is coming." And he says, "I am he." What an announcement to be standing there, the lowest of the low, the weakest of the weak, the one who has been sitting there having been lashed spiritually, emotionally, even maybe physically, and abused and written off, and have Jesus come and stand before you and say, "I am the Messiah. Get up and let me give you water to drink." Paul talks about this when he talks about while we're still weak, at the right time, Jesus died for the ungodly. Now, I know a lot of you read that and you say, Jesus died for the ungodly, which is everybody out there, not me. I'm the godly. Here I am, I'm the godly. Here I am, I'm the godly. No. We're the ungodly. The world is the ungodly, and at that right time, Jesus came. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for the righteous person. Though perhaps a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In that day, in that moment, Jesus said to that woman, "You are every bit as important as the 12 disciples I've sent to the city for food. You're every bit as important as every Jew on the planet. You're every bit as important as every Palestinian. You're every bit as important as every Saudi Arabian, every African. And please don't start on the United States of America, because it didn't exist then." But Jesus would say to us today, to the lowest of the low in the United States of America, "You are every bit as important to me as everyone else in the United States of America." When we are our weakest, we find the most strength in God. When we allow ourselves to be the most vulnerable for God, stop with all the, "Oh, I'll get through, I'll be stoic, I'll carry on somehow." When we stop it all and just lay ourselves before God and say, "I need you. I need you." That's a totally vulnerable moment. Have you ever thought about the cross before and about Jesus? I mean, think about how he died. Oh, I know, it was the culture of the day, but they could have done a lot of things to him. He dies with his arms outstretched at his most vulnerable to be able to say to us, "I gather all of you together as my precious children. I forgive you. I heal you. I love you." too much for us to stand at our most vulnerable and let Jesus make us strong. Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living, ever-giving, ever-healing God, there is a power in you that no human on earth has or will ever have. And we thank you, Lord, that you use that power to help us in our weakness and to help all others in theirs as well. The only thing that you ask is that we make ourselves vulnerable, open enough, so that you can touch us and make us whole. When we are out in the world and we're trying to do our work, please help us not be self-righteous, but rather help us let others open up their arms so that you can touch them as well. Open up their hearts so that you can make them whole. And every day, Lord, when we get up and you remind us how precious we are, please, Lord, please, let us be vulnerable enough to open ourselves to you and let you love us into life. Amen. Our hymn of invitation this morning is He Touched Me, number 564. May the Lord Jesus Christ touch you in your weakest, most needed place today. Wherever you need healing and wholeness the most, let Jesus Christ touch you. Let us stand and sing.